Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to negotiate the price tag here, obviously. So, any
any other boxers out there that want to make big money in the UFC, just start slinging some swears, Dana White's way. You might get what you want. And obviously we had, as usual, some good boxing, some good MMA this past weekend. There's some other stuff coming up this weekend. We have a lot going on with Cage FX. The big show is not going to be until April, but CageFX.com and Fight is Unlimited are going to be having this big, huge whirlwind of a partnership going on. And our special guest tonight is going to be Mike Varner, who is really one of the guys that shaped MMA in Massachusetts in a big way as a promoter. He's had a couple of fights along the way that I've seen. He's been the guy that's been always been the one guy that stayed with it through the whole thick and thin of it all. And he's now with these Cage FX people. And Len DeShields, who's one of the best female promoters in the history, I think, of any sport. Just a great lady. And so we're going to be working a lot with them. They're the best local promotion, and they're drawing the most people. They had the event at Campanelli Stadium there, the Brockton Rock Stadium, last year. And so we're going to be doing a lot of stuff hand-in-hand with those folks. And I figured tonight would be a good informal introduction of that partnership, getting Mike on the phone and talking about their past event that I missed because of the Ali Colombo event and their future, what they got going on for the next few shows. But we'll see what happens, and we'll definitely have a lot more content, and we'll be creating some content for them. For their website at cagefx.com. It's snapping that up a little bit too, so good stuff. Other than that, what's going on in the boxing world, Tony? What am I missing?
Girl from Rocky beat her so bad in the first round. I was thrown the landfill, is sort of pulled back and land. I don't know if I'm not taking the state in there. And some of these turns are back, it starts to dry heat, and they're full of fucking, and the rent that she goes through is going to throw up. That is the problem when you don't jog and don't get yourself in condition. Well, we're all challenged to see, like, the really young team, but they worked hard. You know, it was like, you know, there, you know, see a lot of the old guys, and, share some more stories, and they tell some old jokes, and make one of Rich Bergeron, which is a hobby of mine.
And I just wanted to see the Golden Gloves champion, my last five sessions. So, I'm not going to love myself. He broke my ribs. I prepared him for his golden gloves approach, I guess you call it. But anyway, I'll be back. Just like Arnold.
Yeah.
Someday.
Sometimes you get a guy cut in the spine, maybe an American headbutt, maybe kind of get a you know, under that area would protect them in the forehead. You know, head surface injury, I'm going to do this one. Okay, say a person's head weighs, and I'm throwing out a number here, 10 pounds. If you get a head gear that may be like an additional 6 ounces, if your head gets snapped back, you can lift another, almost say, a pound of your weight that's getting snapped back on your neck. And that is more weight than it's getting thrown into your brain, too.
Well, anyway, that's unfortunate for the family, for the sport. Some other death in the quite in the ring, professional experience, football, but close enough. But both, I just kind of mentioned headgear, because both of those would involve headgear as far as session and the tough meat competition. I think they both use headgear. So. Interesting. But anyway, there's other news too, sad news. Not quite as sad. Tommy Hearns might be losing his home. Did you hear this?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that. I just got my computer back yesterday.
Okay. Austin Lindon, Tommy Hearns, 7-time world champion, made more than $40 million during his career. Faces foreclosure, and he owes more than $961,000 in taxes and mortgage payments. Remind you of another person in the world championship history, like Joe Louis, but like Tommy ever served in the military.
That reminds me of a lot of people.
Right. He's the most famous guy to ever emerge from Detroit's Chrome Gym, says this one.
Yeah.
You know, $512,000 plus on a defaulted mortgage. They filed a $5,000 lien against them for income tax. IRS filed a $145,000 lien, a $90,000 lien, and then a $206,000 lien. That's what it cost. And they're trying to keep the house by paying the lawyer. Let's see. Good luck, Tommy Harris. Thanks for
having me.
Maybe we'll reach out to Marvin Hagler and see what he can do.
Oh, wait.
Let him come out of retirement and fight again.
Greg emailed me with the current email address.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's lost on the email. So, communicate with him that way. He's still doing it.
Well, I will
send you his email. Still in the Stone Age, man. Good guy. I mean, he's straight and narrow. He's a very sharp guy. As we know now. What a story about Marvin Hagler coming into the gym.
Yeah, right. I was telling my dad that. Steady pressure. got a drummer that's going to turn out living Walter Beach. He's a good boxer, but he's pretty smart. He was a handler, and there would be sometimes he'd stand in front of him, but I think Hopkins could box him a little bit more. Also, he was Hopkins, and there's a time he gets him over. He can't, you know, just turn his back on a good fight either. And I was like, so if it's a key round, I'm not thinking to win. I've said it was different, but it would definitely be different and stop.
Well, the press conference for Floyd Mayweather and Shane Mosley here got heated the other day in New York City. I don't know if you heard that.
Oh, yesterday.
Not a big surprise.
Yes, right.
They don't like each other. But other than that, yeah, there's not too much other boxing news. The big MMA news, obviously, is the James Toney signing with the UFC. We don't get too much UFC news on the website itself, on the blog. And I think that's partially by design, partially just because the UFC would never send us stuff. Even if we asked, and I think I have asked a few times, but they don't like me. Randy Couture doesn't like me, I guess, though. And he's putting out on his Twitter account. It's funny now, the Twitter accounts are coming up as news on Bleacher Report. The MMA news I get every day. But Randy Couture is saying he wants to be the first guy they call to fight James Toney. His official Twitter account. And that would be interesting because Randy is a very boxing on the feet guy. When he's on the feet, he likes to box. So it would be a good first match for James Toney. A good first solid representative fight of the boxer versus the MMA fight. Toe-to-toe was better. And the All-American guy in MMA versus the trash talker in boxing. It'd be a better representative than there ever was. I don't know if it's the best possible, but it's better than we've ever seen. It's definitely not Kimbo Slice versus Ray Mercer. So anyway, other than that, we get the boxing schedule here. I guess we'll get to that until a little bit later, but there's a couple ones that stand out here. There's a whole bunch of mismatches going on over in some, it must be like the country's royal family is fighting over in Serbia. It's like multiple mismatches in a week. Main event is the Ned Borov Kanan. He's 23-0 with 16 knockouts. It's actually going on tonight over there in Serbia. And he's fighting Igor Pilipenko, who's 4-6. 23-0 versus 4-6. And then the next fight is a lightweight fight between a 10-0 guy, and he's fighting a guy who's 0-12. 0-12. Mayweather versus Mosley is touring the country and getting sick again of getting all the emails from all their stupid stops. But it's been funny. I got like six of them. I posted about half of them on the website, so they're there. You know, you should know what day is which. They went to New York, D.C., and L.A., so they put all these press releases out. But ironically enough, I don't know if I talked about this last week, but I checked on the docket for the Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather and family lawsuit. Did I talk about that last week? Do you remember? You know, there was nothing in that lawsuit since December. So it leads me to believe maybe they're not going to do anything about it. They're just waiting to see if they can smooth things over. But just looking at the upcoming schedule here real quick, we got Friday night fights going on from Temecula, California. Tudor Promotions is putting on the Friday night fights, and main event is going to be for the WBO and NBO lightweight title. Martin Honorio, 27-4 with 14 knockouts lately. And he 14 knockouts. He's going to be fighting Nico Ramos, 14-0, 8 knockouts at Super Bantamweight. So that's going to be what we would say in Boston, a wicked light card. We've got lightweight, super bantamweight, lightweight, light welterweight, super bantamweight fight, and then we have one heavyweight fight at the end for the guy who's making his debut against the guys 3-6. So I don't know how much of those undercards we're going to see. But there's another interesting lightweight fight, 8-rounder, between John Molina, 18-1, versus Ricardo Garcia, 31-35, with 5 draws. That's all on Friday going down. And we also have something going down in Georgia. Shane Bailey Promotions in Atlanta, Georgia. 6th round main event between Paul Delgado, 20-9, with 4 knockouts and 1 draw. Fighting Roberto Valenzuela, 51-50, with 2 draws. 42 knockouts wins. And around the block a few times. When we go to Saturday, we get some Asia Pacific belts changing hands, maybe down in Australia. Huge. Here's a nice mismatch. Ooh, this is horrible. Shame on you, Vienna, Austria. Super middleweight main event. The Wimberger Hotel. It's the Austrian Boxing Federation. Should be disbanded for this. Vilmos Belog at super middleweight. 27-0, 14 knockouts. His opponent is the fearless Nikola Matic. It's 1-4. Light heavyweight fight underneath that. That's probably better. It would have been the better main event. They give it 2 stars, actually. That's Dustin Dirks, 13-0, with 8 knockouts, versus Daniel Recchi, who's 11-5, with 5 knockouts. And then the very next one is another mismatch. We have a guy who's 13-4 versus a guy who's 0-1. Very fair fight. Thank you, Austria. Montreal, we actually have a fair fight going on, pretty decent main event in Quebec. 10-round super middleweight main event between Sebastian Demers, 32, 11 knockouts, versus William Joppy, 39-5, 1 draw, and 30 knockouts.
Joppy,
5 losses.
Only 5 losses. Yeah. Wow. That's a lot of wins. This is William Joppy, the middleweight champion.
He lost to Lucien Bute in his last fight. And Jermaine Taylor before that in 2004.
Yeah,
anyway, Mariana Juarez, flyweight, he's got a record of 23-5-3 with 11 knockouts. He's fighting Paul Vincent Cardona, 14-7, 4 draws and 6 knockouts. And he's for the interim WBC female flyweight title. And also there's another interesting mismatch on this card. We're getting a ton of them this week. They're very popular. 6-round middleweight fight between Rito Valcaba, 33-9 with 29 knockouts, versus Ruben Porras. Poor ass. That's how it should be pronounced. Because he's 1-8 with 2 draws. That's horrible. Shame on Mexico, too. Then we get another one in Baja, California, different stadium, auditorium. Between a lightweight 10-rounder between Ricardo Dominguez, 30-5 with 18 knockouts and 2 draws, versus Ivan Valley, 28-9 with 1 draw. And an interesting featherweight 8-rounder between Andre Romero, 14-2, 8 knockouts, versus Gennaro Camargo, 29-8, 23 knockouts. Also, lightweight 8-rounder between Misael Castillo, 11-0, 10 knockouts, and Luis Acevedo, 18-8, 10 knockouts. He fights all around the world. In Poland, Peru, Nicaragua. Alvarez, 20-2 with 11 knockouts at welterweight. He's fighting Alexis Camacho, 17-2 with 16 knockouts. Under the star boxing banner there. New Jersey. And then the big fight, I guess, is going to be at Oregon Sun. Kevin Alexander versus Juan Arango. Kevin is 19-0 undefeated, 12 knockouts, and Arango is 22-2 with 1 draw and 17 knockouts. This is for the WBC light welterweight title and the IBF light welterweight title. So what do you think about that fight?
Well, you know,
California. Yeah, Victor Chini back in action. Flyweight, super flyweight.
I saw that.
They're all 3-2. Versus the guy who's 13-1. Rodrigo Guerrero. This is for the WBC Super Flyweight title and the WBA Super World Super Flyweight title. And this is the main event is Leonardo Zapatinha, 22-0, 15 knockouts versus Fernando Angulo, 22-6, 14 knockouts. So that's going to be a good little fight there. That's on now. Mexico has Teca TV in Australia, main event, and United States Showtime. So that's the Showtime fight of the weekend. And then we get into Sunday, which we don't really need to talk about. We have going on Sunday. There's some stuff in Japan. Tuesday. So let's get Mike Varner on the phone. So let me just snip up his email here, his phone number. And Mike is a guy who goes way back in the sport of mixed martial arts here. The state of Massachusetts. He's last fight, he fought a kid named Joe Cavey. And, he's got an apropos name, I won't pick on Mike. I mean, I don't know if Mike could take me to fight, but I know he's older than me. And he does stay in shape, but he fought a kid, Joe Cavey, and he's known for pain. Last time I saw this Joe Cavey fight, he fought against a guy who is a charity fight. Does a very good job of promoting what he's doing. Very good guy. And I'm just looking for his number. Yeah, but you don't need it here. I'm having an email to you. Alright. I got two different emails I'm going to get the right one. Mike Varner there, please. It's Rich Bergeron call. Mike Varner. Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Yes.
This is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
You're on the radio.
How you doing?
Good. How's it going out there?
Oh, you're still doing training.
Yeah? Are you ready for the big interview?
I am ready. I'm going to try to give myself a chance to call in.
Well, we could call out. I have another number for you. That must be your cell phone. Do you want me to call you back?
You know what? I'm just switching calls. Hold on, Bob.
Come on, Tony. Give us some elevator music.
Yeah.
Let's try to get some barking. Where's it going?
Hey.
Are we switched over?
Yeah.
All right. We also have my co-host on the line. It's Tony the Tornado and a gal. So I just want to start off by mentioning, I know that you guys got a big show coming up on April 3rd, right? For KHFX. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with these folks at KHFX. I know I've been talking about how you've been around forever on the MMA scene, so tell us how you got involved in MMA in the Massachusetts area.
So
you
know how I got involved in MMA. I got involved with it, you know, I had seen it on TV, you know, this is about 100 years ago, but when I saw it, I was like, wow, man, what's that? It's kind of foreign thing. And it kind of went by its wayside for a long time, and I don't know, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, I knew a friend, Bobby Diaz, he was training this sport in the boneyard, and considered getting into it, but I was a little nervous about doing it, you know, hearing what people would say, you know, things needed to get beat up. It was too long after, maybe 6 months, but the girl was dating. She was making a ring card girl for the UFC. And she was dating and trying to change her teeth. They kind of put a fire under my butt. So I said, you know what, that's what she wants. And that's what she wants. So I said, well, I have to become a fighter. So I started training the boneyard. That's how I got involved in fighting. But promoting, I mean, once I started fighting, I started seeing what was going on at the events. You know, a promoter, I was at heart. I was promoting the nightclubs. 15, 20 years ago, I knew at that time, the first few shows I went to, I'd be promoting at some point, and I started promoting in 2004.
And what's that been like over the years, seeing it grow in Massachusetts specifically?
Well, it was amazing seeing it grow, because I was there from the very beginning. I was there when Kip brought it in. It was basically just stuff that was going on, and, you know, either people's basements or in schools. Was on commission and the Boxing Commission came in, so that's when I came into the picture, right when the Boxing Commission came in. Once they came in, made as noisy as I was and I am, I started to befriend the people in the commission. I started befriending all the people in the sport, and that was the most fun I had. What's that? Are you still there?
Yeah, we're here. I thought you were talking to one of your staff members there.
No, my staff's on the other room. So, I continued promoting. I continued fighting, and eventually I started promoting. That's when the real love sport came in. Just, you know, sitting up and seeing the guys fight, and, you know, seeing the fans. Like I said, 2004, our first show, I was actually with another company then. Full Force Productions. We did like 26 shows with them, and then about a year and a half ago, me and Gary partnered up for Static Cage Fighting Extreme. Actually, with Gary, they were working for us at Full Force. Gary was prepping, and Linda was doing all the sponsorships. And, you know, just I and one of my partners, we didn't see eye to eye, you know, somebody, you know, that I much respected. I just was, you know, just a different choose of how the business should be ran. So eventually I just pulled out of that business. I had no interest or, I mean, I wouldn't say I wasn't an amateur, but I had nothing set in doing a future promotion. And then Linda and I just looked at one day, so I went around one day and we said, you know what, let's start up an event. And we talked to Gary and we came up, we were just sitting down at the table one day, no days out, and Cage Fighting Extreme was born.
The rest is history. I spoke to Linda today. Oh, go ahead.
I was saying that history is in the country. I mean, where each show is in, it's how rapidly things have progressed. And even like the last three shows, like we've been talking to the venues we've been talking to, just because of the three things that we've all brought to the table. We all have our strong points, but we put together the collaboration. Distinct
separate things, but when we come together, we work together very well. We don't butt heads.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting too to see, like, you know, you guys have an announcer, but you know, every now and then you'll come in and throw us a crowd and, you know, try to get everybody on their feet and yelling and throwing stuff.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, people don't realize how important that is, you know, to have two different tempos and voices and, you know, different people involved and, you know, the whole production value top to bottom. And the big thing that stands out with all the fighters I've interviewed from the organization, the KHFX guys, is that they take care of it. They always take care of you. That's what they say. You guys always take care of the fighters. So, you know, that's a good reputation to have in the sport.
We absolutely do. That doesn't happen. But the three of us are very nurturing as people. So we would take care of our fighters. We would take care of our family. We take care of our friends. Fight about our family, friends. I mean, just because the fighters don't take care of us, we take care of because they're people. So, you know, people always say, well, we take care of our fighters, or people say, we take care of our fighters. No, you take care of people because they're people. They just happen to be fighters. You know, that's terrible.
Over the years, I've been involved in boxing for about 16, 17
and a trainer, doing the show, recruiting on the sport. So, I mean, I've been following I'm popular with the richest boxing guy, but so it's a combat sport. And I've seen a few things that, you know, were saying, man, I wish that's not good for the sport, and I give the sport a bad image. But on a much smaller scale than, you know, the good that I've seen come out of it. The one thing I've said is, you know, a lot of the kids today, and it's a shame that, you know, the country isn't coming the way it is, where, you know, if two things that, you know, parents let their kids do anything they want, or they don't care what form they do, they don't focus on them at all, and they just, you know, they either baby them or they ignore them. And therefore, I see a lot of kids today coming out with attitudes and throwing, well, I can do anything I want and get away with it. That's a bad, you know, thing to get into. So whenever I train youngsters, especially if they come in to where I'm training people out, they come in with, you know, this little bit of an attitude, I kind of bring them down real quick. I'm not talking about like, hitting or anything, because obviously I'm training them, you know, older. But I help them. I tell them, I am the boss. You will do what I say. And I think, you know, this, you know, the country and the world in general would be a lot better place. This really, you know, opened up more programs for youngsters, especially teenagers. Like, you know, they're so getting so full of, puberty, really trying to identify themselves in the world to get a good discipline like that. Because I know for years I was really lost, and I didn't know what to do with myself, so I was getting into a lot of things. And I thought I was the best guy in the world. So I got into the boxing gym, and the first thing that I coached, and one of the older experienced fighters, said, you know, let me off the canvas a few times, to suffer me a little bit. And he told me I wanted to work. And then by the end, I found a purpose in life. And I think a lot of these kids today, I see them on the roads all the time, driving fast, and no respect for anybody. They're going to look for someone that can teach them respect. And that's what I'm
talking about. Doggone it.
I would that sports.
Sound like an old curmudgeon to me.
Learning how to fight keeps the fight out of you. I think that's the first-hand experience. My intuitive disability, human nature, absolutely. A lot of people feel, and it's been actually kind of a good lead to something that is going on with Case Buddy HQ, and that's our bullying program that we're developing. But people, you know, kids, mainly, young boys, they grow up either peer pressure or feeling like they have to, shine in a crowd by acting up, whether it's, doing something in a fighting nature or doing something stupid to impress other people. And when people learn how to fight, when they go to the schools and they truly learn how to defend themselves, it humbles them, and they don't want to feel like they have to prove to the other kids that they're a tough guy, because of the fact they really are. When somebody doesn't know what they are, they feel like they have to show people that they're solid, that they've pushed up the head based on what their real situation should be.
See, back in my day, Mike, we had, if we were bullied, we had Karate Kid to watch and look up to.
Right.
We don't have that today. You have to have the sport of MMA and boxing. I mean, one of the things that actually got me out of getting into a lot of fights, not so much bullying, but if somebody said the wrong thing to me in the street and I took it seriously, that would get me into a lot of fights growing up in Dorchester. Boxing, once I get into boxing, it took away, like you said, that mission to get the aggression out on somebody else,
Absolutely.
Just to keep
that's the truth. You do really need something to keep letting you through very deep space that, you can stand to defend yourself, but you didn't have to challenge your leaves. You can't let you lose or get on the stand down anymore.
It's like a Karate Kid when Danielson gets taught, you use it in self-defense. That's all, that's what you're supposed to use karate for, self-defense only.
I have a theory that I am, and I was 15 when I was a senior in college. I did a lot of my boxing,
while I was, you know, I was at Washington University. And, in fact, I just saw the, guy, one of my old teammates, just let us begin talking about what he was doing as college internship at a small prison. And the coach arranged, when the coach here, he arranged it. The coach came in, and then a couple of the boxers came in. So we did a demonstration for the prison. So not like we were sparring, but we were talking to him and talking about amateur boxing as opposed to pro boxing and things like that. And I remember looking at some of the APIs and saying, man, I could have been so close to being here with you guys. So when I was there, I mean, I remember one message I always tell people when I train them, and especially youngsters, teenagers, and like I said, are so, you know, trying to identify themselves in the world, is to say, look at my name instead of going to the street. But here's what can happen. You don't care. You're trying to identify yourself. Like with me, I wasn't attracted to people that I was somebody. I was in high school. I wasn't the most popular kid. I was in the 13, but I wasn't the captain, I wasn't a star, I wasn't, you know, a great student. I wanted to be somebody, so I went, well, if I could throw my hand in real good, people wouldn't know who I was, they'd respect me. Well, no, that's not how it worked. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I could have gotten myself into a lot of trouble, not just with the little, but, you know, physically, you know, somebody else was carrying a weapon, or I didn't know. When I was going to buy it, I got confidence in myself. You know, I don't have to prove nothing to nobody anymore. They want to know who I am, or they got to use my ticket. And it's okay. Now, when I put my gym, I said, I'm from my gym. I said, you got to be respectful. And I said, you got to work hard. You got to listen. And I said, I want you in here as opposed to the street. I said, if you're angry, you do want to identify yourself. I said, see that heavy bag? I said, that bag can take everything you got. And don't tell me you got it. Don't run in the gang. It's not going to send you to jail. It's not going to come for revenge. You can take everything you got, and tomorrow when you come back, it'll be waiting for you. And you're going to hate to it. You'll be so tired. You're not going to want to run the streets. You're going to want to go to bed.
Well, that being said,
yeah, that's worked for me. I mean, I was really fortunate. Like I said, I've gone to college for a number of years, but I also trained a lot in South Philadelphia. And the one guy that trained at my fitness center, one of the trainers, is an ordained reverend, it's minister. And one of the things he did was, his specialty was in the 60s when there was a lot of, his specialty was taking gang kids out of gangs and turning them into something productive, turning them into guys that didn't have to be great boxers. You can always tell me this, because as long as they became productive members of society, they were winners.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said, too, about organized fighting and how much respect is involved in the other person. You know, really teaches you respect more than anything else. And that's one thing I learned out of it, anyway. In martial arts, particularly, like, you know, the Karate Kid movies kind of made famous, is it's all about respect for the art itself, as well as the opponent. You know, you got to be able to realize that, hey, you know, if you do this one thing the right way, you can seriously injure somebody. So, you know, you got to really kind of be afraid of your own talent sometimes. But now, tell us a little bit more about Key Defects, what they're all about, Mike, and this upcoming event. Any big fights that you see on the card that are going to be interesting?
I know we have the, it's got to be the biggest and most highly anticipated fight right now, so we the Christian Warcraft fight, and, you know, it's for our heavyweight title, but not only our title, there's a number of productions out there, and there are some great productions out there. I mean, we've done some great numbers, venue-wise, but they're, you know, well, I mean, I think we have some other promoters out there, but heavyweights have always been the crowd favorite. We've got the number one and number two heavyweights by far throughout all the organizations in the Northeast. That's Christian Warcraft, AB, and they're fighting in Japan. They're fighting for our heavyweight championship, which they may have holds right now, so that's a huge fight. I think they have a crowd piece, which was the Kid Avery fight, Sean Delano, that's having two more heavyweights. And let me see, my Gary Fulman, my matchmaker, my partner, he's going to be on the 4-5 five really big things like things. We have Chuck O'Neill on the card. We have, I think the French doing it quickly. So we have five no scandals, six scandal fights right now. And here's the thing, April 3rd, I think I'm just looking at a whole pro card right now. I mean, as you know, this sport has been now under the Massachusetts sanctioning. That's a much reverse. And so we have to pay for a sanctioned body to come in. That was sanctioned the amateurs, just like they do with boxing. Massachusetts regulates professional boxing. They don't oversee amateur boxing. USA boxing was the first step in the emergency with the state. Other than the amateur boxing goes on with that.
So we needed amateur golden gloves. So basically,
yeah, we need an amateur
for MMA.
I think we have one. Something called first inning for me, he's going to get involved. We might have to take the third one for me, so, you know, any of us should be able to get pros. The amateurs, you can't have, like, no dominance. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, the commission is open to have the amateurs. It's just about getting the length of the body in here. So, back from Mansfield, it's the third to the theater. You've seen the shows done, some of them have been amazing. It's exactly how Lister worded it at the MMA Expo. I mean, we have things under that no other venue has. It's crazy, the stuff that we have. And it's still just where it allows the smaller levels left people just really have the ambiance that Plymouth has. So we opted for Plymouth. I mean, Plymouth is definitely one of our big clubs.
Yeah, I've always liked that area myself. You know, you kind of outgrew Memorial Hall over the years, but, you know, every time I've gone down to Plymouth, I've had a good time at one of the shows, and actually one of the best ring shows I've ever seen was in Plymouth, when they had the octagon ring for the reality fighting there. And that was a serious show. These guys, there was one fight where both guys, I think, ended up going to the hospital. They beat the crap out of each other so bad. It was fun to watch, but it was just crazy at the end. And then the guy that looked the worst won at the end of the fight, so it was definitely entertaining back and forth. But yeah, Plymouth is a great area too. It gives all the people down the Cape a chance to show up, and then, you know, it's not too far from Boston for everybody from that area to show up. So it's, you know, it's pretty decent for Massachusetts. And from what I've heard, I haven't been to any of these bigger venues yet, but from what I've heard, you guys are really packing in down there, so I'm looking forward to that, to be able to show up for one of these. Seems like something gets in the way every other time, or this time it wouldn't be there.
Yeah,
we'll see. We're
going to Boston.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. I know all about it.
You heard what?
I know all about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not a secret to me.
You let the cat out of the bag.
Linda let me know earlier.
Really?
Yeah. So I get the heads up on
those. So you're on the list and you're trying to get some
pieces. Yeah. I'm gonna try to find out too what's going on with this, you know, I'm gonna do some investigative reporting and try to find out what's going on with this amateur situation too, because we're working on a thing that's gonna come out in the next few days on the website, theunlimitedfightnews.com and therocky49wins.com, about the Battle of the Batches, which, you know, is just kind of all works in the same direction. Yeah, and it's like great, works right alongside with the idea of a bully program, too, that the same guy, I guess, is working with you guys, but on that, is working with us on the Battle of the Batches. And I would like to have an MMA fight on that, an amateur MMA fight, because it's all amateur boxing right now, and it's supposed to be New England law enforcement versus FDNY. So
what's the date on it?
It's on April 24th.
You know, I mean, I think it very, very might well come back April 24th. You know, we'll know more in the next couple of days, you know, probably like Monday. So it's left to see us. We're hard to see if our commission is somebody up that you can, you know, stuck behind. I mean, Neil Jones, you know, he's been a fixture of the sports since day one. He's you know, he's the most knowledgeable person in the industry. He's a beginner, and he has been moving forward with the amateur, so I would say that could definitely work.
My next question would be, can you think of a candidate off the top of your head who's an amateur and he's got connections to New England law enforcement somehow?
Yeah.
All right. I've already got the feelings out down there at the fire department in New York for their guy. So we'll see if they can come up with somebody. But I would even like to see it, like female cop versus female FDNY. I don't know if we can do that, but I'm sure we can. But obviously, you have to find
out. Well, I had a couple of correction officers that trained AA, which is for sort of making females on the top of the head. Like, if you have an issue for the Gary, you know, he's a bit of an answer. He's got his hands full of doing all of the fighting and doing. So, obviously, if you have operations, you're going to take care of like, all the blood work stuff.
Yes, I figured, yeah, we'll definitely be able to find somebody to figure that out, but I didn't realize that was a big part of the regulation. But I do remember hearing that there was one senator or congressman who objected to the bill in the first place because it didn't seem like there was anybody that was going to be put on the commission that had there wasn't any specific guidelines, I should say, for the people that were going to be put on the commission. So she wanted to, it wasn't necessarily that she was against the sport. She just wanted to see more guidelines for whoever they picked to be on the commission. Or
was it
a congressman or senator from the state. And she was the only vote against it, but she wasn't really against the sport. She just wanted to see it rewritten so that there was some handy guidelines to decide, you know, how you're going to pick these people to run it. Can't just pick bumps off the street, so she had a good point. they went ahead with it anyway without her changes, so maybe that's why they're dealing with this now, because they didn't think of that earlier.
Well, these have the LDS and that were true, and maybe you also have Brian Joyce, and this was a huge advocate, huge push for this becoming what it is right now.
Yeah, so sure they'll work it out. I'd like to talk to them about it and do another story on that. I remember I did a story when it was first kind of ship off the block there. It's just being talked about and then finally get done. But there was one attempt the year before it got passed this year. They tried to get it through and they didn't get it through. So this was a second try. They didn't need a third time. The second time was the charm. It's been good. I mean, I think overall it'll be really a good time for the UFC to show up this year. So that's going to be huge. And the next step for the local promotions, I think, is going to get to Fenway Park. You know, I'd like to see a fight in Fenway Park. But then again, they showed, I guess, that the Winter Classic, that's not very good for seating for hockey, so I don't know how good seating would be for a fight unless you could get people on the field.
Everybody,
we've done
the baseball,
we've done
the
Marks. I know. But Fenway would be so much better, I think. Don't you think it would be good?
I particularly am not crazy about the outdoor events. It's just scary to me.
Yeah.
Just thinking, you have a show block. Obviously, you get 3 or 4, 5, 6 months, how else do you keep predicting that one day? And that becomes too rich to not be a race. But other than that, I love the health of the eating and drinking well done. But what do you do if you have to burn to the health of
that's true.
What do you think of that, man? What a fight. I mean, this month is flying. We go off to Kansas, would take care of it. If you have to eat, I have to take care of it.
Well, we'll pray that there will be no rain. I won't do my rain dance that day. How about that?
Well, you do not pray for the guaranteed rain that it will not rain that day.
All right.
And she did it last year. She guaranteed that she looked at the almanac for the past 17 years and never once rained on that day.
She said, it was not. That is some research. 17 great insight on what kind of work she puts into it. She'll go back 17 years to make sure she picks the right freaking day. The last event that I saw you at there, the model search for bare bones right here. I was telling everybody, you know, look at, you know, you can tell she's a promoter because she comes in and she takes charge.
Absolutely.
And she does a good job with it, so. I can't wait to see this next show. I've been kind of out of the scene there for a little while since the fight in Mansfield that you guys had and the blizzard. That wasn't so bad anyway because everybody got knockouts. I think there was only like 3 fights that went past the first round. So it was good. It was great timing. Everybody got out of there in time before it became an issue.
Steve, this guy was skin of our teeth. If I was 2 hours early, 3 hours early, I drove home in that day. I had my big green, like I had a trailer. So I had to drive the whole ride. And it was kind of a foot of snow, maybe like 8-9 inches of snow. And I drove all back the road. And it was 1:30, 2:00 in the morning. The big thing, so I led the way. It was like, it's literally like a wagon trail on the 1600s. Yeah, going through the plains.
Yeah.
And I was the lead, and it was like, there was a black car behind me. And I was just leading the way for the first snow that was never, ever driven on. I couldn't even see my high beams on the snow, so I was going 5 miles an hour, 10 miles to my house, maybe 12, 13 miles, but it took an hour and a half before it was freeze.
That's pretty nutty.
Crazy.
Anyway, any other fighters in the league in general, in the group, organization, I guess, best word, that really stand out to you and you think are going to go places that we should be watching?
I think he'll be able to keep an eye on David Trares. David perhaps he's going somewhere. So I know him. I've always liked the kid. Great kid. He was from a great school. But, you know, how good they end up with the shows, the marketing, so they really don't, or even the after show, they don't get a chance to watch the fights and find them out. But I did watch the fight. I watched his last 2 fights. Very impressive. It's striking. So the one in Mansfield where you saw the fight, very first strike, that was the one before it was the last show. And the last show we just fought was jiu-jitsu. So he's a striking, he's in the ground game, he's going places. We've been absolutely that kid. He's going big time too. So Pride did, is what the UFC did, it did away with, right? because he used the time of techniques. You know, the flash. I like the flash. That's why people like our shows. We have a lot of flash. So we have a lot of excitement. And the time was like, the time built the fight time they came out. And it was a soap opera.
And also, you know, they were probably the most respectable league ever fought in the ring. And now you don't even see promotions use a ring anymore because it's not, there's no big image organization that uses one. Yeah. It sucks because I used to like the aspect of seeing it in the cage in a ring on different events. And I didn't really watch Pride all that much. I watch it more now, I think, because it's on the TV more, but. You know, I do know that the real hardcore fans of this one miss it. A guy named Zach Arnold over at FightOpinion.com wrote a lot of the stuff about the behind the scenes that I dealt with too. I guess they just settled with the UFC. I don't know if you knew that, but the former owners of Pride just settled a lawsuit with the UFC over that. So that's now finally been swept under the rug officially. And the whole case is settled. But, you know, there's a lot of hijinks behind the scenes on that. The whole thing with science that I'm tied up in is related to the Pride purchase in general, because the money that made it possible for the UFC to buy Pride and destroy it like that came from representing science as this huge, great sponsor, even though at that point it was about to go bankrupt. You know, so they basically represented themselves as more than they were at that point. They got all this money, they bought Pride, to acquire it and get the fighters primarily, and they never intended to build it. That's why Pride sued them, because when they sold it, the UFC brothers promised them they were going to build it up, not destroy it. Yeah, that's the real story. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, when I started Fight News Unlimited, it's just in my space, I really, you know, fell in love with the aspect of starting with the fighters, you know, and that's why I like you guys, because you start with the fighters, you know, you care more about the fighters than anything, and like you said, you know, you compare them to people, and you call them people rather than just fighters, so, you know, there's so many organizations out there who just think of themselves first, and these guys that started the UFC, and Dana White get all this credit for, you know, building the sport and everything, but a lot of people don't realize behind the scenes, they are very shady people, you know, they came up through very shady backgrounds, they have a bloodline that would make you cringe, and they've been, their father, I mean, is in the movie Casino. You ever seen the movie Casino? Yeah, their father has a character in that movie, you know, there was skimming involved, and he was one of the people that made it happen, and he's one of the only guys that didn't go to jail for it, so they go way back into shadiness. Generation. Right, yeah, the brothers that own the UFC, their father just died. But he started the Station Casinos, and the whole deal with Station Casinos being bankrupt now is a little bit shady. You know how that happened. They went from private to public and then back to private. And, you know, the whole thing just stinks. Now they've fucked so much shit up out there in Nevada. They've got the partners on one of their casinos who are wicked entrenched in the media. They own like 3 newspapers out there. They've got them pissed at them. You know, so it's the Fertittas versus the news media out in Vegas now is pissed at them. So you're going to see a lot of stuff come out, I think, over the next few years if that gets ugly. But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of backstory that people don't realize, and there's very few reporters out there that dig into it. And, you know, I did a lot over the years. I haven't done much lately because of the lawsuit, but that guy, Zach Arnold, he does a lot on the Pride situation and still tries to keep the debate alive and the issues out there. But not too many people know this, the real history. That's probably one of the reasons why Rampage is so pissed at the UFC, you know, among other reasons. It's because he knows what really happened in that scenario. He came from Pride. You know? There's very few guys left from Pride. Dan Anderson just went over to Strikeforce. He used to be with Pride. You know, and a lot of those guys probably feel like they got used. You know, they get bought up just to be used. And, you know, that lingers with you as a person who's trying to work with an organization like that. But that's my rant. I'll get off my soapbox, Mike.
That's incredible stuff, Amy.
Shout out to you or anybody you want to thank?
Well, I just
Nobody else to really stand out too much to me on that. show to go to. ROF 37 Warlords is going on in Omaha, Nebraska, at the Omaha Civic Auditorium. It's on March 5th tomorrow. King of the Cage, Ice Age, going on in Mahomet, Minnesota, also tomorrow. Tony, you're invited to Playboy Fight Night. Marshall versus Lacey. Doug Marshall versus the best name ever to fight at the Playboy Mansion. I don't know if it's Playboy Mansion, but it's Playboy Fight Night. It says Visalia, California, so I don't think it's Playboy Mansion. Visalia Convention Center. But get this, on Playboy Fight Night, who is fighting but BJ Lacey versus Doug Marshall. BJ Lacey versus Doug Marshall. That's awesome. It's the only fight they list. M1 Selection 2010 is also going on. There's like a poster that comes up that says Saturday, March 27th. That must be the finals. But it looks like there's an event going on this weekend. I just don't see it here on the page for some reason. WEC, March 6th, is having an event, Columbus, Ohio. Bowles versus Cruz. And there's going to be the Bantamweight Championship. Dominic Cruz versus Brian Bowles. Miguel Torres versus Joseph Benavidez is going to be on that card. Benavidez, Toro Savicius versus Elsie Davis. Bart Polizuski versus Karen Darabedian. Jens Pulver's back in action versus Javier Vasquez. Scott Jorgensen versus Chan George. Danny Castillo versus Anthony Pettis. Leonard Garcia versus George Roop. Chad Mendez versus Eric Koch. Mindy Casimir versus Ricardo Lamas, and finally Courtney Buck versus Fredson Fajayo. And then on Santa Cruz on the 6th, Santa Cruz, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, we have Top Fighter going on. And in Liverpool, England, I won't hear too much about that venue. Liverpool, England. The Olympian MMA Championships, Paul Cahoon versus Alex Making it. This is on March 6th, by the way. Paul Sass versus Jason Young. Peter Irving versus Wayne Murray. Jay McGinnis versus Declan Williams. Jay Gladden versus Roland McKay. Jay Manning versus Jason Muldoon. And Mark Glover versus Richie Downs. Just a few more here, folks. We have King of the Cage, Native Warriors, Santa Fe, New Mexico. March 6th at the Buffalo Thunder Resort and Casino. Gladiator Challenge Domination going on at the Red Hawk Casino in Placerville, California. On that fight card, we have Angel Diamanta versus Ivan Pack, Mike Gonzalez versus David Horniak, Hunter Worsham versus Chris Brown, Andre Feely versus Cain Campos, and Jack Cummins versus Bo Rodriguez. Jack Cummins, he should be fighting at the Playboy Fight. BTC, Brazil versus USA, is going on in Manaus, Amazonas, Brazil. However that is, the Altitude Championship. We have Shudo Spirit 2010, March 7th, none other than Sumbai Miyagi, Japan. Tokyo, Japan has a Sengoku Ryden Championships 12 going on March 7th. There's some pretty good news here. Akihiro Gono versus Diego Gonzalez. Jorge Santiago versus Mohamed Khalidov for the Middleweight Championship. A couple good fights on that card. And finally, last but not least, on March 8th, in Linwood, Washington, Edmonds Community College, we have AX Fighting Championships, AXFC, March Madness. I think I mentioned that first. I'm saying it again. So that's about it for the upcoming MMA events. A few more minutes here to talk about in general stuff. You said you were going to rant rave tonight, Tony. Did you already rant rave?
Right.
Right.
You can give me not position combat sports.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah, you have to. You have a tornado. It's pissed off about things.
Mm-hmm.
You can even look at stupid people.
Yeah, we know that.
Yes, and I said that a many times. I don't like stupidity. And, so, as you all know, from listening to me, I am now back in the workforce. That's a good thing. Not a bad thing, right? It's a good thing.
And
the job I took, I took a car system because number one was the only one I could get. That was like, you know, not a temporary $5 an hour job. You know, it's a decent salary and it's a good living. And it's closer than my last job, so I was happy about that. I got to go from training with whatever, that's okay. So, last week, in my new office, things are going well. This week, I realized, boy, it took me a hell of a long time to get to and from work, and I don't know why. So I realized that the one major pharmaceutical company, which is about 6 miles from my house, decided to close a major stretch of road. It's only about 200 yards they closed. They are detouring people up to 8 miles. Get around traffic. It's horrendous. And I don't take too well in city traffic. I've seen near accidents every day. I've gotten shouted at people nearly every day. So what I'm saying is that I have a what they call an active ladder, and I have to pee a lot. I don't like the city on my way home. Nearly thirsting with water.
Do you have a going problem, or do you have a growing problem?
I was just going to put too much goddamn water during the day because I get filled. And then I got to go like every 20 hours. You have to actually consider it Fox. Well, from this major company, you have decided to fuck everything up. So now, maybe the quiet, sitting right across the letters to the township. Anybody else can follow out. I don't talk about the president. I don't care. You know, we got really nice. They break it. Well, this major company about 3 days. They have to alter the schedule. So they'll fuck my schedule up. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm a very busy person. It's not seem to be a boxing on over right now. Because I take it home inside and have my clients come over. So basically, they're costing me about shit. That's what they're asking me to do to her, which costs more gas money. Then they're asking me to not train these people, basically. But I don't like that.
Yeah,
that's
what they keep. It sounds like unfair labor practices. Revolt like Station Casinos workers. Guess who revolted at Station Casinos? The culinary union. So the cooks, they pissed off the cooks. All their food will be poisoned.
You're not involved. I'm not going to be able to do that. The last one was on the road. So I only see some fine people in the office.
Yeah.
It's just an annoying shit. And, this is going to go through in December, maybe in January.
Well, hopefully, we'll be able to alleviate that situation. And whenever you get some time off, we'll ask. Red Sox tickets to give you next time you come up here. Because another side issue that I'm working on involves Wikiat and a little site called eyesforcuba.org. Just how it sounds. eyesforcuba.org. And I just created it. It's one of the things I'm going to be working on the side, just like CageFX. Get my shit together. I'm starting to get paid for my services on the side here. So that's just a couple of those things that I'm working on. Louis Tiant has got a great little charity that he's going to be helping out there. And, mind you, Tony, if you have some pennies set aside, 70 cents or a little bit less than that right now, we'll get you one share of the company that's involved. Nice. So, not to be the inside trader type, but buy some stock. Because I'm going to be involved in really making that whole charity effort really blow up. Few days and months. So, No, it's just the website is there. I haven't really listed it or marketed it yet. Waiting on a couple of things. But, eyesforcuba.org. No, number four, F-O-R. Eyesforcuba.org. Just checking out, making sure it works. Getting forward. So, you don't even have to put the www.it. Just eyesforcuba.org works. And Louis Tiant, if you don't know, probably played on a team close to you. He played on the Yankees, Red Sox, Twins, Pirates, Angels, and Indians. So he played in your state, but not for your team. 18 seasons he was in the majors. He, ironically, has not made it to the Hall of Fame yet. But if we have anything to do with that, we're going to make it happen. But working with a guy that's involved with the Red Sox as well, that's why I say, next time you come up through town, we're going to have some prime time seats, and you might even get some autographs. Who knows? I know I'm getting a Louis Tiant autograph. Whatever it takes. But, so that's just a little side thing. We'll be working on doing some charity work associated with that, and scientific social solutions. And they also are wanting to get involved in that bully program that Mike Varner was just talking about. So it's all going to be symbiotic. We're all going to work together. And then that's also going to help out the Battle of the Badges program, too, to be associated with all that stuff. So all around, it's going to be one happy family. And it's going to help charity. So whoever we can bring into the fold on that when it gets big, we'll do it. But right now, it's just kind of putting those beginning stages together. It's looking good, you know. That's one thing I've always wanted to do with writing is to help people. So I'm very glad to meet Brian Dean, the guy that's involved in all that. So I should keep it on work. And all that Red Sox stuff. He has some great memorabilia. He sells. He's actually down to spring training with the Red Sox right now. Can you say that? What a job that guy has. Are you on a vacation down there?
Yeah.
All right, well, we've kind of exhausted the combat sports angle. Anything else you want to add before we sign off for the night? Going over that preseason baseball? That's how far behind I am. I don't really, until like the third week of spring training, I don't even start to check the stats and who's on whose team. I didn't even realize that how old he was on the Phillies. You know, he probably told me already, but that's good. That's really good for you guys. We've got some good new pitching, too. I can't name them off the top of my head, but I know we've got some great pitchers.
So,
it's funny, we were actually did some work this week with a buddy of mine. We were at this house, and they could tell that they were Yankee fans because they had a children's book that had the Yankees emblem on the front of it. So the woman was walking by, and I said something to the delivery guy that brought the fridge that we were installing. He had a Red Sox hat on, and I had a Red Sox hat on. So as he was leaving, he said, "See you later, guys." And she's walking by, and I go, "Go Red Sox!" She's getting this look like, looks confused. It's funny. And then afterwards, she said she mentioned the guy from the Red Sox, Johnny Damon. He looks much better with his new haircut. She always liked the Yankees, she said, because of their haircut. So. But I always thought Johnny looked better as an idiot. Jesus. The Jesus look worked for him. That's another story, another sport. We'll talk about that much more when the season gets into full swing. The Red Sox and the Phillies are supposed to be in the World Series anyway this year, so
Tornado here is signing out.